I'm Stephen Price.
Hello, I'm Cara Githens.
This is The Innkeepers, a podcast by Sanctuary Inn. At Sanctuary Inn, we believe we are called to equip, refresh, and restore God's global workers.
On this podcast, we will be interviewing guests who have much to teach us about the many facets of missionary care. Let's learn together and be encouraged to press on in the work God has given each one of us to do.
And we're back again with another episode of the Innkeepers podcast. I know we're kind of new at this, Cara, but how are you enjoying doing these podcasts?
It's been a good experience. I think it's enriching to me personally to hear these stories and to talk with people like Steve Tracy and others who are experts in their field. And just I'm excited that we're getting some material out there to people, hopefully, who need it.
Yeah. And I know at Sanctuary Inn, one of our biggest concerns or biggest efforts, pushes, is to be a resource. We want to be a resource for missionaries on the field, off the field, transitioning. And we don't have all the answers, but we do have a lot of connections to people who do have answers. And so we want to be that resource. And whether it's you have the opportunity to come and stay at Sanctuary Inn, which you can go to sanctuaryinn.org and learn more about the ministry, or whether it's just you just need someone to email and ask a question or say, where do I go with this? And we would love to be able to connect you with someone that can help you.
Yeah, so if ever you want to connect with us, you can email us at Cara, K-A-R-A, Cara at sanctuaryinn.org, or Steve at sanctuaryinn.org, and we would be glad to connect with you and answer questions and resource you. And we've had the privilege now being open for almost 3 years.
Yeah, we've had over 200 missionary guests with us in that time.
And it's just, we've learned a lot about caring for missionaries during this time. And I guess today we wanted to share some of the themes and some of the ideas of what we've been learning in our time here at Sanctuary Inn.
When I was doing a lot of research on missionary care, and again, this is one of those things that we're learning, and we'll try to link to these different websites here and there, you know, as we can, about people that are doing missionary care and resources and so on. One of the things I kept seeing was this kind of people would write articles or do these video posts about like 10 things your missionary will never tell you, or you know, that kind of thing. And so I started looking at those and reading those or listening to them, and it spurred me on. So I wrote an article called Five Things Your Missionary Wants You to Know. And actually, if you go to the Sanctuary Inn website and sign up for our newsletter, you can download this and you can have it. And anyway, it just kind of talks about some different themes or different and we'll mention some of them. And like Cara mentioned, there's other things that we've heard from people that we want to talk about too. But, you know, as a family, we traveled and raised support for ministry in Eastern Europe. And that was in days when we wrote a lot of prayer letters. We visited a lot of churches and we spent a lot of time in the car. And our kids, you know, we listened to a lot of different Odyssey adventures and Salty the Singing Songbook. Yes, he was part of our life. We stayed in a lot of homes and spoke in a lot of churches. And, you know, a lot of those people that we stayed with, they had young families. They had young children. You know, they were young families with young children like ours, and people that really wanted to see missions advanced, and they had a heart for missions. And a lot of times, the things that we heard from people were like, "Oh, I don't think I could ever do what you're doing," or "You must just be special that you can do all this and visit churches and raise money and go overseas and stuff." And you know, we really just wanted to communicate with these people that our family was like their family. It was very similar. We still had the same discussions, quote unquote, arguments as married couples. We had the same disagreements with our kids. And, you know,
your kids still fought?
Strangely enough, yes, our kids still fought. You know, even though we had a van, and it's like, you know, we still couldn't put enough space between the kids in the back seat.
Yeah. So basically, missionaries are not super people.
Missionaries are pretty much ordinary people, but you know, they really believe in what they're doing, and we'll talk a little bit about that time. So we spent our, you know, we were about 5 years on the mission field, and then we've been involved over in a, since then, doing a ministry related to missionary care. Now we're at Sanctuary Inn, which is definitely the focus and heart of missionary care. And so, yeah, just some things that maybe we can share. And I think one of the first things that any missionary would want you to know is that they're not super people, you know? They're not Superman, they're not Wonder Woman, you know? But they feel like they have a call in their lives, and God has put this call. They don't want you to put them on a pedestal. They don't want you to just kind of like, ooh, they're really special. In fact, I heard a person say in a meeting one time, that if missionaries needed counseling, they really shouldn't be missionaries.
What? That's not okay. Because missionaries are real people with real feelings and life experiences and losses and griefs and pain, childhood pain, trauma, all these things that we're talking about on our podcast. I think that's, we want to demystify some of the things that people might believe about that missionaries should live up to, the expectations that are unrealistic. Yeah. And just to be, we want to give you, the missionary, permission to be a real, normal person who has hurts and losses and pain and struggles. And we all need, we need God's help in these areas.
Yeah, and if your role is a resource at a church where you are caring for missionaries or helping send missionaries, just, yeah, try to encourage them and encourage them and just to be who they are, to enjoy them being a, as a family, don't have unrealistic expectations for them or of them. And anyway, and I think one of the biggest things is just realizing, you know, they're not super people, but they are definitely very committed to what they're doing. And it's that commitment that allows them to do the traveling and the fundraising and the conversations, which are generally not easy conversations.
But they can be rewarding because they're building you're building relationships and friendships. And I mean, I grew up as a missionary kid. I wasn't the one who had to, you know, do the bulk of the fundraising. But let's be honest, cute kids help, right?
Cute kids. So.
But I know that some of the families that supported our family and participated in what my family did in Brazil are some of my parents' lifelong friends.
Yeah.
So there's friendships that are built, and there's relationships, and there's just, there's churches that we visited every furlough that, you know, I got to know the grandmas who always made the comment that, hey, you grew.
Yeah.
Well, yes, I did.
My, you've grown.
So anyways, there's just a lot of joy in it too.
I know that too. When we had the opportunity to travel and visit churches and spend time in people's homes and have meals with people, it was really significant. And God often use those as opportunities for ministry, even in our lives. People ministered to us so many times in so many different ways. And then God would often open the door of ministry for us to speak into the life of someone else in a more one-on-one setting. And it was really, really amazing times. So I would just encourage you that as you pray for your missionaries, just pray that they will have the perseverance and patience to do what God's called them to do. Because it can be kind of an arduous journey to raise support and gather prayer support and pack your belongings or sell your belongings and make plans to move to someplace you've never lived before.
Yeah, it's very daunting.
Yeah, your missionaries more than anything really want and need your prayer support as well as just your encouragement for what they're doing. Well, speaking of finances, that's a touchy subject in the missions world because there's different ways that missionaries are funded. Some are funded through programs where the mission agency will just step in and provide the funding, and that's one way. Generally, the way most missionaries are supported is they're responsible to raise their support through people making pledges, like monthly pledges or annual pledges, or churches stepping in and pledging their support as well. And you can imagine that with financial requirements of living in a foreign country, as well as covering health insurance and other, you know, so many
and
life
airfare
expenses,
airfare, cars, and
They're responsible to raise money to have on hand for return trips to the States and so on.
Emergencies.
Yeah, emergency funds and depending on taxes. And anyway, it all gets pretty complicated.
Yeah. And the way fundraising and support raising has happened 30 years ago versus today has also changed as churches and their focuses. And so what they're willing to support and who they're willing to support. So a lot of fundraising and support raising takes a lot longer nowadays.
Yeah.
I know that our family was able to, you know, about a little over 30 years ago when our family raised support, our family went out with 40 supporting churches.
Yeah.
40.
40 supporting churches. So do you know what that means? Every furlough
meant
visiting 40 supporting churches.
Well, we didn't do it every... My parents split the difference, and churches got to see us every other furlough.
Yeah.
So anyways, but nowadays that is unheard of, and families are getting a lot more individual supporters and fewer churches supporting in larger amounts, and often churches are wanting to have the missionary be there... Like from the sending, their the home church sending missionary kind of a approach, which is great in terms of missionary care, but it does present some challenges in terms of raising support.
Yeah.
Because can a small church adequately support full time a missionary going overseas for the entirety of their service?
Yeah. So some of the larger churches are stepping in and providing a bigger percentage of support for missionaries, which is encouraging, except we've heard so many stories about someone gets a large percentage of support from one church, and then they go overseas and they begin their ministry, and then there's a change in pastoral staff or a change, something happens at church, and the missionary gets an email from the church saying, well, sorry, but we're changing the focus of our support, and the ministry you're doing no longer falls under that, and so we're going to withdraw our support. So some people some people have lost as much as 40 or 50% of their monthly support, just bam.
Just gone.
Just gone. And so I love the idea of churches getting in, supporting in larger ways, and I think that's an amazing thing. But at the same time, the potential for disaster there, and so it's just something to keep in mind. So if you're part of a larger church and they're supporting several missionaries, you know, just really keep in mind the decisions that you make as a church and the impact it has on someone living around the world.
So that brings us to the point that it doesn't matter what they tell you. Most missionaries won't tell you how undersupported or what piece of their budget isn't supported. They could probably always use more support.
Yeah.
And finances can be hard. Some people really struggle with asking. So we just encourage you to, if you want to be supporting a missionary, maybe you offer.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you step out there and say, hey, I believe in what you're doing, and I want to support you. And it doesn't always have to be this hard, awkward ask.
Yeah. So... yeah, the whole support issue. I'm going to talk a little bit now about how support's determined and decided. And you might wonder how a missionary's finances, how that's all determined. And a lot of it's one of the first issues is cost of living in the country where the missionary will be serving, family size, outgoing expenses, the money they need to physically move from point A to point B. There are other things that should be a part of it, retirement savings, home assignment funds. So money should be set aside for future, for their future, as well as money to travel back to the States and other miscellaneous ministry expenses and other travel expenses. And so you roll all those things together and they get what your mission agency calls your monthly support. And that's the amount they need to raise. So when you hear about missionaries talking about the percentage, like we're at 60% or 40% or 80%, they're talking about that monthly support figure of whatever that X dollar amount, maybe it's $5,000 or $6,000 a month. And they're at whatever percentage that. So it's the percentage relative to the 100% figure that the mission agency has given them. And the other thing, that's something that's just really important to know about finances too when it comes to missions, is that when you get a job at a regular employer, your employer covers part of your expenses, maybe part of your or all of your health insurance or other taxes and so on that your employer helps cover. But your missionary is responsible for paying all of that. They have to raise all of those funds and they have to pay it all themselves. It all comes out of their support. So there's no one else kicking into that. And so you might look at that money and go, wow, well, I could live on that. But it's they're not seeing all that money. Obviously, a lot of that has to do with administrative overhead and things
like
that.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. Sometimes built into some mission agencies' budgets for their missionary is actually helping support the agency back home. Mm-hmm. In the U.S., that agency support is often raised by missionaries. A percentage of what the missionary mm-hmm. raises is also goes back to the home office.
Right.
So sometimes those numbers seem pretty big for a missionary mm-hmm. budget, but it covers everything. You could think about needing money for.
Right. And so the other thing to know is that sometimes some mission agencies or mission organizations don't build in the margins into the missionary budget. Like there's no margin for emergencies or other unplanned expenses. And so sometimes
there can be within some,
but sometimes the agencies are like, oh, well, our missionaries just live by faith. And which is like, well, that's a great idea. But at the same time, you know, it can really put your missionary in a bind financially to not have that extra money. You know what it's like in your own life when things are just really thin and you don't have that extra money to take care of a necessary car repair or other expenses, and it just pushes you to the limit. And that's not a fun place to live, and it's not a healthy place to live. It creates a lot of stress in a missionary family when there's no margin for anything. And it creates, again, just too much stress in the family.
And another thing to be aware of, when a missionary raises support, the dollar value that they raise in the U.S. is very different depending on where they go to, because mm-hmm. the exchange rate is sometimes in the favor of the dollar, but sometimes it's not.
Right.
So it can really mess with things, and sometimes the currency and the dollar value is set for one thing, and you're in country, and the value of the dollar is plummeting in that country, and then what do you do?
Right.
Because you're still going to get the same amount of money from the home office every month for your salary that you raise. So. There's a lot of that kind of financial instability that can color support raising for a missionary. Mm-hmm. Is the reality that mm-hmm. they're not getting paid. Like, it's not as stable for some people in some countries as it would be for you at your job in the United States or wherever you are, because you get paid and you live within the currency of that same country.
Right. Something to keep in mind, too, as missionaries raise support, they have, and keep in mind, this process can take 12 months, 24 months, in our family, maybe even a little longer, you know, so it's a long process. Some people start supporting early on, and maybe they only make a year or 2 year commitment, and so by the time the family's ready to leave overseas, someone may just be technically winding up their support commitment, and then that actually leaves the family moving overseas a little shortchanged. Something else that happens too is that a lot of well-intentioned people, and I'm not being critical at all, it's just that people pledge support, but some people never follow through. I mean, as much as good-hearted as they are, big-hearted people, they make the pledge and they say, yeah, we want to do that. And for whatever reason, it just doesn't happen. People just never follow through. And so the missionary might count pledge in their percentage, and then as time goes on, they just realize that this is just never going to happen, and so that can affect their monthly budget as well. So, and also then sometimes, you know, we know things happen. People back in the States lose their job or there's a major life change or something, and it's dramatically affects their ability to support a missionary overseas. And so they have to cut back or, you know, no longer give to that missionary or that missionary or the mission agency. And those are realities. Those things really happen. So the missionary actually needs to build in, you know, theoretically they should probably not raise 100%. They should raise like 110% of really what they need to help cover, because it's not that unusual, even in the first year that a missionary is on the field, that they can lose 10 or 20% of their monthly support in that first year. Mostly just because they're not in front of people anymore. They aren't seeing them every week at church or whatever. And again, it's just, it's a reality of what missionary life is like. So, and then again, we talked earlier about churches that pledge a large percentage of support to a missionary. And then sometimes for whatever reason that changes and that church is, does not continue with that commitment. And so that leaves the missionary in a very awkward situation.
So some missionary then, after month after month of not getting their meeting their budget for all these variety of reasons, of church changes or personal supporters losing jobs. And I'm guessing now with COVID, there's been a lot of shift and a lot of supporters unable to support missionaries, and then missionary that the ripple effect is probably pretty significant right now. Mm-hmm. So then you'll get these emails or these messages and churches talking about missionaries needing more support, and so that these are some of the factors that are coming into play.
Yeah, I can tell you the letter that a missionary never wants to write is a letter of desperation, like help. We're desperate. We need funds desperately. And that's not a missionary. That's not a letter a missionary wants to write. It's not a letter really a supporter wants to receive either, because no one wants to be in that situation. But unfortunately, if things go on month after month, sometimes a missionary is in that position where they're literally very desperate financially. And sometimes the situation is such that one of the husband or wife will return to the States and raise additional support because things have changed so dramatically. Anyway, so just as you pray for your missionaries, pray for the financial support, pray for consistency, and just that the missionary would see God's faithfulness. And I know we had times where, and we had a very consistent supporter base. When we were overseas, we saw the faithfulness, but there were times that literally we needed extra money for whatever reason. And I can just think of one particular time where through very unusual circumstances, God sent extra money our way. And it was just happened to meet a need. And that happens in life, and we pray and God provides. And so we don't ever want to discount the fact that God is in the business of providing and caring for his people wherever they are in the world. Yeah. One of the other things to talk about is that not all missionaries are created equal. You've probably met a lot of different missionaries. Like, there are missionaries that are office workers. There are missionaries that are translators. There are missionaries that are evangelists or public speakers. And so these different personalities are very different when they're raising support. And they're not all excited about getting up in front of a group of people and sharing about their needs. And sometimes it's actually very difficult to get in front of a group of people and talk about your personal needs. And so you can be drawn easily to the person that's outgoing or gregarious and is easy to, you know, seems to be easy to talk to. But remember these other people, school teachers or office workers or medical staff, their needs are just as significant, and it can be harder for them to be up in front and talking to people.
And sometimes they're excellent at what they do.
Yes.
And what they're being prepared to do on the field, but they aren't so excellent at presenting to you what their ministry is going to be and what the support needs are or how you could be praying for them or communicating just regularly. So I think that's something to be aware of, is that sometimes our expectations of what a missionary should or shouldn't be doing may not be in line with actually what they are capable of doing and are being called to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, so just take the time to get to know a missionary. Treat them as individuals. Don't treat them as just one, like, oh, this is the way a missionary should be or ought to be or something. But just treat them as individuals and then pray with them, pray for them that God would provide their needs financially and their prayer support as well. A fourth thing that we want to talk about is that there is probably a limit to what a missionary feels comfortable sharing with you. And this is kind of an interesting or touchy subject because there can be things that can be very hard for a missionary to share with supporters or supporting churches. I sat in on a debriefing at one time, and this couple had been on the mission field for 4 years. And in that 4 years, they had significant changes happen. I mean, they changed mission agencies in that span of 4 years, which I don't know how that even happened, that they stayed on the mission field and changed agencies. But anyway, so they had churches that loved them and supporters that loved them and so on, but they hadn't had a chance to really tell their story to anyone in that 4 years. And so they needed someone to talk to about that. Also, one of the things is that your missionary's there and they really want to communicate. They want to share what's on their heart, but sometimes they feel like there's a pressure to just tell you great stories or amazing things. But, you know, life can be pretty ordinary sometimes.
And sometimes the story that they have to share is a story of pain and heartache and loss and depression and anxiety and fears about raising children and in a country that they're not familiar with. There's culture shock. There's a lot of hard things in their stories. And I know here at Sanctuary Inn, that's partly why we're here, is we want to listen to the hard stories and the struggle, and we want to hear the raw, honest truth that, yes, people are doing God's work all over the world, but it is not easy.
Yeah. So it's not uncommon for your missionaries to face issues of discouragement, frustration, and depression. And at the same time, those would be hard stories to share with the churches and supporters back home. It might be shocking to you to read an email from your missionary that talks about them struggling with different things over the last weeks and months, because we tend to want to hear the encouraging stories, the fun stories, the interesting stories where God is doing great things. And so I think, just know that your missionary has things they may need to share. And maybe you can be that safe person. You can be someone that they are willing to talk to and trust, and someone that that they can confide in. And if not, you can pray for someone that would be in the life of the missionary, someone that they can confide in and talk to.
And honestly, I think it's really important for us to see missionaries as people, like we said before. And God is doing a work in the life of the missionary, shaping them, molding them, testing them, growing them, just like God is doing in your life.
So when we're talking about missionaries and their need to be able to talk to someone and confide in someone, I also thinking about another story about a missionary couple that I met in the last couple of years. And they had trained to be Bible translators and, you know, raise the support, and this is what they're going to do. And they told their supporters, and they got to their field of service, to the village where they were going to be living and do the translation work. And they realized within 6 months of getting there that there were a number of unusual circumstances that would actually prevent them from doing the Bible translation. So they've raised the support, they've communicated with supporters, they've talked to churches, they have all the support they need, they're on the field, they're there for 6 months, and they can't do the ministry that they set out to do. Now what's going to happen? Well, fortunately for them, they had a pastor in one of their supporting churches that came to the field, spent some time with them, listened to their story, understood what was happening, had a real heart of empathy and compassion for them. And in conjunction with their mission agency, they were able to get reassigned to a different position in that mission and continue with the mission, just in a completely different capacity. But just think about that story, how amazing that was than just the change that had to happen, but how someone stepped in and was their advocate and worked with them to make that hard, hard transition.
Yeah, those kind of transitions and struggles can be really hard to communicate to supporters and people back home in the U.S. or Canada or wherever the missionary is being sent from. And so another theme that keeps coming up and is often really hard for a missionary to share is all the losses. I mean, you think about it. You say goodbye to family, to friends, to a life, to a language. You do all these things, and then you go and you adapt to a new culture and a new language and a new way of doing things, and then you say goodbye to that life for a couple months or a year at a time for furlough or home assignment back in the U.S. and go back and forth, and this compounds the losses and the griefs and the goodbyes and kids eventually going off to college or whatever it is. And other missionary families coming and going, and there's so much loss and grief. It's just part of the missionary life, and it's really hard to communicate that. But just know that whether or not your missionary says it to you, this is part of their reality. They are experiencing loss and grief throughout their career.
Yeah. And certainly it's 99 out of 100 times, this is not a paralyzing situation. This is just the way life is. And you sort of get used to it, the people coming and going, and you, there's definitely pain with it. There's pain when you say goodbye to dear friends, or when they're leaving, or you're leaving, or you're changing locations, or coming home for home assignment or furlough time. Those times can really be tough. It can be hard on the parents. It can be hard on the kids saying goodbye to their friends. And really when kids are parting from one another and they realize it's going to be like, they may not see them again. Those can be really tough. But throughout all those situations, it's just important to go back to God and just be grateful and thankful for God allowing you those friendships, those relationships, to be in that place of ministry, to have that service, to have known those people. And in our lifetime, our kids have said goodbye to a lot of people, but they've said hello to a lot of people too. And
absolutely. I have the MK story of having said hello and goodbye to so many people, but I now have friends literally around the world. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a lot of the MK third culture kid story and missionary life story, is that there is loss and grief, but there's also a lot of joy. So it's a mixed bag.
Yeah.
And as many things are in life, we just want to make sure that you who can advocate and support your missionary just know that this is a part of the reality of their life.
And I think one of the most important things you can do as a friend of a missionary is listen to their story. When they have an opportunity to sit down over a cup of coffee with you, or to have a meal with you, listen to their story, ask them questions, and don't just rush on to the next thing or the next idea or the next topic, but take time to listen to them and ask questions. And there's literally, you can go on the internet and look for questions to ask your missionary. This is a true thing. You know, it will help you. It'll give you a framework for that conversation, that there's questions you can ask that will help them tell their story, and it will help you just listen to them and really be more involved with their life story. So I think the way we want to end this is just, above all, is we want to affirm your missionaries and what they're doing, and affirm the fact that they are committed to what they're doing. And we want you to take on the role of being an encourager to your missionary. They are so committed to what they're doing. I mean, they feel called. They're devoting all their resources to this, their time, their energy, everything. And they wouldn't be on the mission field if they weren't 100% called to what they're doing, and the fact that God has put them in that place. I know, Cara, a sense of call is something that you talk to missionaries about sometimes.
Yeah, a sense of call and a sense of clear vision and purpose as to why God wants them doing what they're doing often gives missionaries the confidence they need to stay in some pretty hard situations. Mm-hmm. Not that sometimes hard situations need to be dealt with and, you know, conflicts maybe need to be resolved, or sometimes there are circumstances that would say, you know, yes, you need to shift or change your focus and your direction. But sometimes it gives you the wherewithal to stay in, you know, like we recently interviewed the Becks, and they stayed in Poland. It wasn't because they liked living in communist Poland. It was because they knew God had called them there, and that they had a purpose and a clear vision for God using them to reach the people of Poland.
Yeah.
And it didn't make it any less easy.
Right. Yeah, they still had a lot of difficulties. They had a lot of tough border crossings, because in those days, if they would go out to Vienna for whatever reason, and then they would have to cross through what was then Czechoslovakia and then into Poland. And, you know, they were constantly subjected to searches and to interrogation, and it made life very difficult for them.
So the world over, there are hard places to live. Some are serving in Muslim context. Some are serving in really poor context. Some are serving in some, you know, just uncomfortable, hot places with bugs that are in everything.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those things don't go away just because you're serving God.
Right.
But because you're serving God and because you're clear of the calling that God has on you, your life, and the love that he gives you for the people that he's called you to be a part of reaching for his kingdom,
right,
you stay.
Yeah.
And that sense of calling is really, really freeing, I think. And it gives people a sense of the passion that they need to do the support raising, to do the preparation and training before they go, to raise your kids in a culture that's not your own, like all those different things.
It's definitely adds a richness to the family life, but it's not without its struggles. I mean, to hear about families in North Africa that deal with, you know, daily temperatures of 102 degrees and sand and dust blowing everywhere, and it's like, oh my goodness. I mean, that's, they only stay there because God has called them to that place, because that can be so exhausting day after day to deal with situations like that.
Yet if God has called you or a missionary friend there to serve in those contexts, you know that to be anywhere else would be worse.
Yeah.
Because to be in the center of what God has called you to do is the best thing for you, for your life.
Yeah. So just remember that because your missionaries are so committed to what they're doing, sometimes they may sacrifice family time or downtime or just personal daily disciplines of their time alone with God because they are so busy and so committed. And sometimes they can even feel guilty for taking time away from the ministry. And so what you can do as a supporter and as a friend is encourage them that they should take time away. And that time off is not an unusual thing. It's a normal thing. I think most of us expect that we're going to have some vacation in the span of a year. And so to not take that would be really odd or unusual. And so they need that time away to be refreshed and renewed. When you write them an email, encourage them in their ministry and mission. Encourage them in their walk with God and encourage them to take time away.
Yeah, and the kind of the flip side of being so convinced and burdened with the call and that God has in their life, kind of the Achilles heel of that is that it's easy to believe that it depends all on them.
Yeah.
That if I don't do this, who else will, and how will God save these people?
Right.
And then they just don't do a good job at taking care of themselves. And so it's really important that we who can support missionaries to really say, you know, you're still, like we said at the beginning, you're still a human being.
Yeah.
And the call of missionaries to the nations isn't dependent entirely on us.
Right.
God is about reaching people for mm-hmm. himself.
Yeah.
And he will use you in spite of you and your brokenness. But it's really all about him and his glory. And he wants us to be dependent on him, not thinking that somehow it all depends on us.
Yeah, yeah. So just to maybe summarize some of the places we've been here today is just that your missionary wants you to know that they're human, just as human as you are, but they are seeking to do something with all their heart. And God has put this on their heart, and so they're so committed to it. It takes a lot of prayer, perseverance, and partnership. And so let your missionary friends know today, maybe even just send them an email that you love them, you're grateful to God for their willingness to obey his call in their lives. Your email or maybe some other kind of text message you're able to send or something could be a great encouragement to them and a blessing to them. And to know that you are standing with them in prayer and supporting them financially, it just makes a world of difference to the life of that missionary.
Yeah, and if you have kids, your kids could send a note to their kids or something like that. Just make it personal, make it warm and friendly, and it will be just a huge encouragement to your missionary friend and family.
So again, this is Steve.
And this is Cara.
And thank you for listening to the Innkeepers Podcast. Thank you for tuning in to the Innkeepers Podcast. Our mission at Sanctuary Inn is to equip, refresh, and restore God's global workers for kingdom purposes. We hope today's podcast was an encouragement to you, and maybe you were prompted to pass this along to someone you know that will benefit from today's conversation. Creating a podcast is a team effort. Cara and I prepare and do the interviews, and we're grateful for the time that our guests give us out of their busy schedules to help us learn more about missionary care.
We also want to thank Tim Downing for the music that he wrote and performed specifically for the Innkeepers Podcast. Tim is a very talented musician, and you can learn more about him and his work at downingkeys.com. Our podcast is edited by Javier Bolanos and is produced by Tim Cowley of Cowley Visuals. If you have media needs, including film, photography, or audio, you can reach Tim at cowleyvisuals.com.
Our website and show notes are prepared by Micah Givens, Cara's amazing husband. You can visit the Sanctuary Inn website and learn more about the ministry of Sanctuary Inn at sanctuaryinn.org. Thank you again for joining us on our journey to learn more about missionary care.
See you next time.